From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Michelle Norris.
I'm Melissa Block, and we begin this hour with the troubled auto industry. The view from the executive office suite and from a small Ohio village whose economy relies on carmaking. Last week, executives from the big three automakers were sent packing after they came to Washington to ask for a $25 billion rescue package. In blistering hearings on Capitol Hill, Democratic leaders told them, if you want the money, show us how you'll restructure to stay viable. We're going to hear now from a man at the top of the healthiest of the big three companies. William Ford Jr. is the executive chairman of the company his great-grandfather started in 1903. He's known in Detroit as an environmentalist, steering Ford in a greener direction towards smaller, more fuel-efficient cars. And Mr. Ford joins us from his office in Dearborn. Welcome to the program.
Oh, thank you very much. It's great to be here.
We should clarify, too, that it was not you. It was Ford's CEO, Alan Mulally, who testified before Congress. I did want to ask you about what President-elect Obama said yesterday about the car makers. He said he was surprised that the auto executives didn't have a better thought-out proposal when they came before Congress. Do you think that's a fair critique?
Yeah, I do. And I think, though, it was partly the way it was set up because, you know, every car company is different, and one size doesn't fit all. And I think it was hard because the three companies were sitting there grouped together, and yet each had an individual story to tell. But the format was such that it was, I think, tough to do that.
Now, you said each had an individual, different story to tell, and Ford seems to be in a different position than GM and Chrysler. Your CEO said it's not in immediate danger of running out of cash, but still the numbers seem pretty staggering. Am I right that Ford lost about $12 billion in the first three quarters of the year?
Yeah, we actually made money in the first quarter, and that shows you, I mean, we were on track, and then the economy, the bottom fell out, and yeah, it's been a rough couple quarters for us.
And you've been burning through cash at what rate?
Well, we've been burning through a lot of cash. Fortunately, we have a lot of cash, and we have sufficient liquidity. I think that our story is one that we were really asking the government for something a little bit different than GM and Chrysler. We were asking essentially for a line of credit that we would draw upon if needed. We hope that we never need to use it.
If you project into the future, how long would it take for Ford to run out of cash? You say you do have a good cushion, but how long would it take?
Well, it's very hard to project. Of course, we war game that every day, and you know that's completely dependent upon how our vehicles are selling, which vehicles are selling. In any given day, our answer would change because the market is changing. Our plan is to get through next year the way we are, but if events overtake us, we'd like to have access to government money as opposed to, asking for it right now.
I want to ask you about executive pay. Your CEO, Alan Mulally, was asked at the hearing about his $22 million compensation package and whether he'd be willing to cut his own salary. And he said, I think I'm okay where I am. Why is that okay when Ford is joining and asking for a taxpayer bailout?
Well, I mean, it's first of all, we are looking at it and we are talking to Alan about it. I don't know if you know this, but I stopped taking any compensation myself 4 years ago.
Well, what about your CEO?
Well, as I say, we're talking with Alan and the comp committee, and we are very sensitive to public opinion, and something that we're on top of.
There was another thing that really set people in Congress's teeth on edge, and that was the transportation issue that all three CEOs flew in for the hearing on private luxury jets. And you well know that Congressman Gary Ackerman told them that to see them come off their jets with tin cups in their hands was almost like seeing a guy show up at the soup kitchen in a high hat and tuxedo. Do you agree that that was just the wrong signal to be sending to Congress?
Yeah, and we get it. And we're taking a real look at our whole plane operation. We've sold a number of planes already, and we're taking a good hard look at all the rest of them as well.
You've all been working on your plan that you'd present to Congress in hopes of getting this bailout. Do you think that the plan will convince them to give you the money?
I can't speak to the other companies because I don't know what their plans are, but our plan won't change. I mean, it's interesting. You know, we started on this several years ago. We are bringing our very, very fuel-efficient European models to the United States, and we're going to build them here. And so we were already on this long before there were ever congressional hearings. And I think that was, that was the right thing to do when we decided it several years ago. And as I say, I think it's even more the right thing to do today.
Did it surprise you that the reception in Congress was as chilly as it seemed to be?
Yeah, I guess it kind of did. I think that I think our timing couldn't have been worse, just and not our own fault. But, you know, coming right on the heels of the big federal financial institution bailout, and where a lot of the members of Congress had to go home for reelection and hear about it. And then we show up right on the heels of that. I think that, you know, clearly our timing wasn't great.
Well, Mr. Ford, thanks for talking with us today.
Well, thank you very much. I really enjoyed it. Thanks.
That's William Ford, Jr. He's executive chairman of the Ford Motor Company.